Okay, so why does the virus make us smarter? That's the first question. And the second question is, how is journalism going to change because of the virus? So the answer to the first question, well, first of all, I keep saying this over and over, and I don't just say it on its own. I do it with evidence. Like, for example, a Republican governor who was basically going along with the craziness of Trump and no masks, no isolation, we're opening everything up, you can do whatever you want. And if, mayors of cities within the state wanted to have a lockdown or shut down certain kinds of businesses or require masks, no, sir, you can't do it. And a good example of this would be Abbott in Texas. He was perfect, totally in lockstep with Trump. And so, I don't know what it was, a week ago or something like that, all of a sudden, got to wear a mask, says the governor of Texas. The governor of Mississippi, Republican, same thing, except now he sounds like Andrew Cuomo, a little bit on his way. And I point to both those events and I say, you see, the virus makes us smarter. I mean, it works that way. 62% of Americans say that Trump is screwing up with the virus. Specifically, I think that 62% was specifically in relation to the opening of the schools. 62% said he's full of shit. Well, the schools aren't opening anywhere. I mean, there might be a few here and there, but they'll close right away because it'll explode on them. Same way that the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL, they're all going through the motions to restart. But they won't restart. It's going to be kind of tragic in a way because you're going to, I mean, Russell Westbrook, a superstar NBA player, tested positive for the virus. I mean, whew, wow. I mean, these are going to be some famous sick people here. And, so far, I don't know what the effects have been on the athletes who get it, but sooner or later, one of them is going to get fucked up. And it's going to dawn on a lot of people that this isn't something you want to screw around with. This disease is not something that you want to be political about, that you want to be stupid about. See? Makes them smarter. They'll get to a point. I'm not sure that everybody will get to that place, but why quibble about it? There might be a handful of people who don't get smart, but everybody will get it eventually. And how do I know that? Well, human behavior. Look at countries like, take Vietnam, for example. It's a case where I happen to have a friend who's in Ho Chi Minh City, Steve Goodman. And he's an American and he lives there now. He's an English teacher. English is a second language. And so he was sort of blogging about the whole experience with COVID-19 on his Facebook account. Well, it was happening in, I guess it was probably February, maybe January. And it was all kind of foreign to me. I mean, kind of very foreign. I mean, it seemed extreme what they were doing. This idea of locking down a whole country. It's not a tiny country, it's 93 million people. But they did it, and they claimed to have had zero fatalities, and they got it under control very quickly, even though they share a border with China. How about that? I mean, they're very close to where the outbreak was. It's kind of like, well, let's just leave it at that. Good proximity matters here. We've noticed that, right? Well, how the hell did they do that? And it's not just Vietnam. It's also Japan and Singapore and South Korea and Thailand. I know I'm leaving somebody out. China, huge country, but by definition, it was out in the wild, spreading in the community. There was no idea that there even was a virus out there when before they actually were very deep into it. But they dug out of it, and their economy is rebounding. It's regaining the losses they had. They will not go through the pain that we are going to go through and are going through. And they're smarter. They are smarter. They are, but the thing about it is, here's the paradox, because they actually, as people, are the same raw material that we are. At a sort of raw intellectual capability level, there aren't different kinds of people, okay? They're smart, but they're not any smarter, basically, than we are, cut from the same stock. The reason why they are smarter, however, is because they've been through this before. They had to deal with a whole series of viral outbreaks over the last 20 years, maybe longer, and they've learned what you do. And by watching them, well, some of us learned what you do by listening really careful to the experts who were studying the same things that the people in Vietnam then were studying by listening to those people. You can learn too. You can get all the way up to speed, but a country can't. A whole country, individuals can, but the country can't. It takes, you have to hit your head against the wall over and over and over again. You keep hitting that wall. And every time you hit the wall, you get smarter. You know, you still have the governor in Georgia who's turning down every time a city or town has a mask ordinance or a lockdown, he just cancels it. But he will get smart too. The governor of Oklahoma was one of the worst. On the day the lockdown started countrywide, he was out in a restaurant taking pictures with his kid. I remember seeing this going, wow. I mean, this is karma. He's asking for it, right? He's saying, no, no, everybody go out to eat, have fun. You know, Oklahoma is open. I'm laughing. It's not funny. He got it. He got the disease. He's the first known governor to have it. I bet he got smarter right there, even though he hasn't put in the mask order for the state of Oklahoma. He was at Trump's rally in Tulsa. I'll bet he's a lot smarter today than he was yesterday. Thing about it is that getting really seriously sick also makes you smarter. It really does. It's not fun. You don't really want to do it, but there is a silver lining. You do get smarter. I quit smoking when I got sick in 2002. All the times I had tried to quit smoking before, it didn't work. That time it worked. I paid a big price for getting smarter, but I did. I knew, you know, see, there's all kinds of smarts, but what really matters, when I say it makes us smarter, I'm talking about net effect smarts. You can know something's wrong, but if you keep doing it, that's not as smart as, I mean, just knowing that it's wrong or it's bad or whatever, or it's unhealthy and, you know, whatever, that's a certain kind of smart, right? But it's nothing compared to acting on it. So, you know, it's possible that had Trump said everybody go back to school in March, we would have all gone back to school. It's possible. But the virus made us smarter. Okay, so that's the answer to the first question. That's what I mean by the virus making us smarter. And how will it make the news work? Aha, because the news will get smarter too. It probably won't happen to the existing news world. I'm sorry to say, they're wrapped up in some kind of weird reflection. They're just like looking in mirrors all the time. It's like, news about news about news about news about news about, keep going. It never ends. I mean, it's so much of it is news about, is meta news. It's not so much that it's fake, it's just irrelevant. It's the latest drama. Does it really matter that Goya, that Trump posed with a bunch of Goya products you know, looking like a fucking idiot in the Oval Office? No, it doesn't matter. It only matters if it was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise. Wasn't at all a surprise. And there's a big story that they won't put out, or they won't put out yet, is that Trump is trying to kill huge numbers of Americans and, you know, make other Americans sick for life and huge misery and bankrupt the country and yada, yada, yada. He's doing it. Well, maybe that should be the lead, huh? Maybe when Wolf Blitzer says breaking news from the Situation Room, it should be about how many Americans do you think will die if we go through the plan, number one. Number two, does really anybody think we're going to do it? I mean, fuck no, we're not going to do it, right? But he's trying to do it. The fucker is trying to do it. And this is beyond... You know, people give him the benefit of the doubt and they say, oh, no, I don't give him the benefit. Well, you do give him the benefit of the doubt. If you judge what he does against what a president would do, you're giving him the benefit of the doubt. That doubt was removed very soon after Inauguration Day. It's an old story. The guy is not president. He's keeping a president from running the country, but he isn't himself actually a president. He's more a war criminal, a war crime against humanity dude, a guy who is going to have to be punished for what he's doing when this is all over. Whenever it's all over. When we get smart enough to make it over. We're not smart enough. Everybody wants to go back to normal. I mean, that's just what we want. That's what July 4th meant. That's what Memorial Day meant. We just want to go back to normal. Normal is not smart. And we can't get out of this without getting smart. So fuck normal. You're not going back to normal. Normal's not it. We're not doing it. Okay. So news. Forget about what news is. What does news have to be in order for us to get smart? The first thing we need a weather map. I envision Steve Kornacki on MSNBC. He's the guy who gets in front of the U.S. map and talks about numbers about polls that were taken, about voters, about who they're going to vote for. And he's very animated and he's really smart. And you love to watch him because he's so excited and excitable. I mean, it's a miracle. I mean, he's a young guy and it's nice to see he's so passionate about it. I would love to see Steve Kornacki do the same thing with data about where the virus is and what numbers and where, you know, what is the concentration? I mean, there is a number, like a temperature or like a barometer reading or like a relative humidity. These are numbers that we understand. If you're alive and aware, this is called weather. You know, if you live in the middle of the country in the summertime, this time of year, you're watching out for tornado weather. Because tornadoes can come along and wipe you out. And if you live in the deep south or Florida along the Atlantic coast, probably in the Mexican Gulf Coast of Mexico, they're all this time of year and into the fall, it's hurricane season. You're looking out for all kinds of tropical depressions that could turn into hurricanes. You're trying to figure out what the path is for these things. Amazingly, the virus needs exactly the same kind of treatment. So we've put up weather satellites. The weather is amazing. I'm amazed always by the weather forecast. I mean, they could tell you at this time of day, the wind's going to pick up and you're going to get some thunderstorms and the temperature is going to go down to this degree, right? And or up, who knows? And it could tell you when it's going to happen. And it, goddamn if it doesn't happen, when they said it was going to happen. It's amazing. They really are. It's good math. It's good data. Satellites. It's all this stuff. Probably some AI in there too. And they figured it out. Well, we need to do the same thing about the virus. Okay? We need to know where it's strong and where it's not strong. And that's why you can't have an order that says the schools open up all along the country, because that would be like saying everybody should go out and play baseball wherever you are in the country, even if there are tornadoes in the area that you live. No, you wouldn't do that. You'd go shelter. You'd get out of the way of the fucking tornado, okay? But you could do it over on the West Coast where they haven't had a tornado in God knows how long. It's not tornado country. They have earthquakes. And fortunately, we haven't figured out how to predict those yet. Yes, and so you need Steve Kornacki every night on MSNBC. And he's talking about how, and it's not because of incompetence or because of lack of resources. It's just weather. The virus is like weather. It's not, I mean, you can't like see the storm that's about. It's amazing sometimes how they predict this incredible weather's coming to you. And it's, you know, they say it's going to be 20 degrees tomorrow. But my God, it's 70 degrees right now. We're all running around doing summer type things. And then you say, what? It's going to be 20 degrees tomorrow? And then God knows it is 20 degrees the next day because they can see it happening. Because they have eyes and they can see it. And so that's what journalism, hate to say it, it's really mundane, right? Journalism wants, every journalist wants to be Woodward and Bernstein. They want to get the great scoop that brings down the president, right? And they want mirrors, news about news about news about news. We, in the blogosphere, we used to talk, we did this too in the early blogosphere. It was watching them, watch us, watch them, watch us, watch them. It's like everybody's just watching each other. And I visualize this as news, the way journalism works most of the time. Like a barbershop where there are two barbers and there are no customers and the barbers are just there all the time cutting each other's hair. At least they're cutting hair. they're not doing a lot of barbering, though, that's for sure. And the news people aren't really getting any news. That is the problem. And as long as news can't do that for us, then they really ought to just not do very much until they can, because it's the thing to do. And so that's why I keep banging the drum about Fauci, about what is Fauci doing, and can't we set up a place for him outside of the government where nobody controls him, where we can hear him talk once a day, every day, and bring on guests, former heads of the FDA, all kinds of scientists and mathematicians and governors and whatever. And okay, if the federal government won't organize this, let's organize it ourselves. Okay, they won't have the money, that's for sure. The federal government has money they just can't put their hands on. But at least let's have the other side of it, where the information is being distributed. And if the government won't share the information, then we have to develop the information on our own. And it's okay. It's actually better if that's done in private hands and in a way that's subject to competition, because it saves us from the kind of manipulation that's happening right now. We should not let this happen again. And it shouldn't just be with laws. It should be with routing around outages. I mean, come on, we're good at this. This is what we know how to do. So that's what's, I just want to put a cap on this now. So it's not like journalism will change. Journalism won't change. But a new journalism will boot up, and journalism won't even see it as journalism until it's pretty obvious that they have to do it too. It'll be like Craigslist. They could have done Craigslist. They didn't do Craigslist. They could have done any number of things. I mean, they should have done Facebook, for crying out loud. But they didn't do Facebook. This will be like that. Maybe you won't even think of it as news, but you'll go there first before anything else in the morning. And people will always be talking about what happened there instead of about, you know, Trump and his beans. And it sure is entertaining in the way that, you know, Brockmire is entertaining. By the way, if you haven't seen Brockmire, oy, you got to see it. It's really good. Anyway, I'm in a mood, I have to tell you. I think because we're getting smarter, and I like that. And because change is coming, and I've been waiting for change. Now, all I have to do is survive the damn virus. And, of course, that's your job, too. And let's just make it happen. Right? All right? Okay, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.